Let HFCC guide you on your path through education. Classes begin June 26th and continue through August. For more information, contact the Office of Registration and Records by calling 313-845-6403 or online at hfcc.edu.
Computer Information Systems Certificate in Web Technologies and Design.
Love to design stuff and play on the internet? Henry Ford Community College offers a one-year certificate program in web technologies and design. Advanced HTML, computer art, web authoring tools, and web multimedia are a few of the courses offered.
Computer Information Systems Certificate in Web Technologies and Design.
The program is designed to prepare a student to take CIW Certificate Internet Webmaster exams.
For more information on CIW exams, log on to www.ciwcertified.com.
Drop by the HFCC Counseling Office or log on to the web at hfcc.edu.
Computer Information Systems Certificate in Web Technologies and Design.
Honey, I'm home. I've got a surprise for you. Ugh.
Get that filthy, disgusting tire out of my living room. You're on my favorite rug.
Calm down. You're gonna love this.
What? Whoa. The goldfish bowl.
I won't run over them. Relax.
You roll that tire right back out of here.
Relax. It's all part of my master plan to save us money.
This is not going to be our coffee table. Don't even think about putting a piece of glass on top.
No, honey. This is a reminder to keep our tires properly inflated so we can save money on gas.
Can't we just tie a string around our fingers?
Sweetie, properly inflated tires could save us more money at the pump than a week's worth of gas.
You're getting tire tracks on my love seat.
Exactly. To remind us that we love saving gas with properly inflated tires.
What's wrong with a sticky note on the dashboard?
Discover smarter ways to save hundreds of dollars on gas and help the environment, too, at the Alliance to Save Energy's website, drivesmarterchallenge.org.
Hey, let's put the sticky note on the tire.
All right, I've gone through all the tracks. Just move through the beats. Do your thing.
All right, everyone, let's hear it for West High's own Brooke Turner, a.k.a. DJ Hook.
Scratching up my first school dance takes confidence. So getting into college, I've got what it takes. So do you.
Visit knowhowtogo.org to learn what you should be doing right now to prepare for college. Start taking the steps at knowhowtogo.org. Brought to you by the American Council on Education, Lumina Foundation, and the Ad Council.
I'm a decent boy, just landed from the town of Ballyfad. I want a situation, yes, and want it very bad. I seen employment advertised as just the things as I, but the daddy's bow been ended with no Irish need apply. Hoof, says I, but that's an insult, though I get the place I'll try. So I went to see the blackguard with his no Irish need apply. Some do think it a misfortune to be christened Potter Dan, but to me it is an honor to be born an Irishman. I started out to find the house, I got it mighty soon. There I found the old chap seated, he was reading the Tribune. I told him what I came for, when he in a rage did fly. No, he says, you are a paddy, and no Irish need apply. Oh, well, I gets my dander rising, I'd like to black his eye. To tell an Irish gentleman, no Irish need apply. Some to think it a misfortune to be christened Potter Dan, but to me it is an honor to be born an Irishman. I couldn't stand it longer, so a hold of him I took. I gave him such a welting as he'd get at Donnybrook. He hollered Millie a Murther, and to get away did try, and swore he'd never write again, no Irish need apply. Well, he makes a big apology, I've been and then goodbye, saying when next you want a beating, you write no Irish need apply. Some to think it a misfortune to be christened Potter Dan, but to me it is an honor to be born an Irishman.
In 1800.
1941, I put my corduroy britches on.
Good afternoon. Welcome to this edition, the June edition of Impact, right here on WHFR Dearborn. We are the station making waves, and I would like to tell you that we are very, very honored today to have the Detroit People's Task Force in with us in the studio today. So welcome to you, and I will tell the audience that all the views expressed on Impact Day are not necessarily those of WHFR Dearborn, nor those of any individuals in the studio. Okay, and thank you guys so much for coming in today. Got a little Pete Seeger going on in the background, and we were talking about, we don't have great protest songs anymore. We need great protest songs, so anybody wants to write a great song, send it in, and we'll see if we can get it on air. Would you introduce yourselves, please, starting with Kevin?
Yeah, my name is Kevin Carey. I'm the executive director of Detroit People's Task Force.
My name is Kim Green. I'm the program director of the Detroit People's Task Force.
Okay. I know that the group has been around since for a couple years, for like 3 years now.
Right.
Tell us, Kevin, your background, and how did the People's Task Force come to be?
Well, I've been actually an activist radical for years. I've been in the struggle, the anti-war struggle, and also the prisoners' rights struggle for the last, let's say, 25 years.
Mm-hmm.
Matter of fact, I started as a Southern Africa Freedom Committee with the People's Congress back in 82,
mm-hmm.
and in support of the ANC and a lot of anti-war demonstrations I organized, and also... I started dealing in prisoners' rights, like I said, within the last 25 years, trying to free the wrongfully convicted individually.
Okay.
Before I helped organize the People's Task Force with my sister, Marilyn Jordan, who's my partner and deputy director and founder, I worked with a lot of prisoners' rights issues, and I also organized a... prisoners and rights rally in Lansing back in 2005.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been dealing with prisoners as far as the issues of prisoners' rights. Some of them were brutalized at that particular time inside the jails, you know, and what I would do, I would send corresponding letters to the ombudsman during that time, and also correction officials and politicians, you know, to get them some assistance. What we do, the task force has been around since 2009.
Mm-hmm.
And where our main goal is to free and fight for and free the wrongfully convicted.
Right.
And we've been dealing with this issue in Detroit Crime Lab. With Kim Worthy, who has no jurisdiction over the crime lab, but she's taken over the investigation of crime lab.
Okay.
And there's some laws, for MCL 45.4, 51, 52, and 53, that dictates that she cannot receive any additional funding, even for additional duties.
Okay.
Okay. She was on the air about 2 months ago saying that she received some grant monies to help investigate the crime lab, review crime lab cases. But under this law, and that's against the law, too. But she also received money from city council illegally in the last 3 years, over $3 million, you know, to review crime lab cases. Okay. A lot of these prisoners have been wrongfully convicted because of tainted ballistic evidence, mostly, some DNA.
Okay.
A lot of times these individuals also... appear for trial, but juries that aren't of their peers, you know.
Right.
And to explain the ballistic errors, I mean, it's insurmountable.
Right. From your contact, your experience, your knowledge base is so much stronger than mine. So I'll ask this question from about as layperson as I can be, and that is my knowledge of what's going on with the crime lab primarily has been things I've heard on the news, and those are, you know, little snippets, little bites of information where you don't hear a whole lot. So what I'm remembering is didn't the FBI come in? Wasn't the FBI involved when the lab was closed down because there was there wasn't enough proper protocol, I guess would be the correct word. And so there was a mess, and cases that you're fighting for came to light, and all of a sudden the crime lab was supposed to be shut down. And
well, Chief Ellibully Cummings closed it down in 2008.
Okay.
And there was a 10% error rate within 147 ballistic cases.
Okay.
At that particular time, the FBI, as far as I know, never did investigate these errors recommended by crime and police technicians. The task force has been advocating that since our origin.
Right.
Beginning.
Right.
We appeared before City Council in 2009, you know, to address that issue of them writing a letter to the U.S., House Judiciary Committee to launch an investigation on the crime lab.
Okay. One of the absolute top parts of protocol with regards to any kind of crime evidence is that everything has to be very pristine. Everything has to be kept perfectly in perfect condition so that we can derive accurate information from whatever that evidence is, whether it's DNA or firearms or what have you. When the lab was shut down, how were we assured that that all of that evidence remained pristine?
We weren't assured anything.
Okay.
When it was closed down, you know. It's like you've seen TV over a year and a half ago, you know, with all the evidence stored.
Right.
You know, within a period of years, that hasn't been tampered with, it's been diluted, et cetera. There was about 12,000 DNA cases that haven't been analyzed.
At all.
Right. Also,
where are the people who have been accused of these crimes?
A lot of these people, I'm talking about the ones that have been incarcerated.
Yes. Well, either incarcerated or if the DNA was never analyzed, was there ever a case?
These people were sent to trial.
Okay.
And they were convicted.
Okay. Without any evidence, without any DNA.
Right, any tangible evidence, you're right.
Okay.
We have several cases. I mean, we got a lot of cases on our docket now, a little over 70, but this has happened. There's been like, as far as we know, it's like 31,000, a little over 31,000 cases, totally.
Okay.
And Kim Revy's talking about dealing with, like, I think, 19,000 of them.
Okay.
You know. A lot of times, these police technicians took the evidence out of the file jackets.
Yes.
And they didn't properly sign them out, you know, with their name and what the item was.
Okay.
And on the file jacket.
Uh-huh.
You know, and a lot of them got mishandled that way too.
That's what I'm talking about. It's not pristine when you're doing that. The evidence then was potentially not put back in the right place or what have you. And when you talk about DNA evidence, we're talking about serious crimes here.
Right.
To be accused of things like murder, rape, I presume, you know, that sort of thing.
And robbery, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So, wow. That's a lot. It's a lot to take in to, you know, where justice in this country is held at such high esteem, and this is just crumbling right before our eyes. So how are you getting involved with these cases? Are people coming to you to ask questions, and can you help me, or are you going through court cases, or how are you finding the people who need the help?
Basically, you know, within the last 3 years, you know, we've been sending out flyers to people,
mm-hmm.
you know, trying to ascertain some evidence about their loved ones wrongfully convicted, you know, so we can give them legal support.
Okay. How do you identify the people?
Basically, they call us.
Okay.
They call us or they write us.
Okay. You know, they're family members.
Yeah, the prisoners do sometimes directly too.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, we have paralegals on staff, legal researchers, and we also have a couple of attorneys that we work with.
Okay.
The thing is, all these cases, you know, a lot of them are ballistic cases, majority. But you have some DNA, like I said.
Mm-hmm.
You know. We have a state case. I'm going to mention his name, Michael Harris. He's been in jail since 83.
Mm-hmm.
Five murders that he can commit at all. And even though they have the forensic evidence to prove that he didn't do this.
Okay.
The police tried to coerce him to confess, which he denied. Okay. He didn't confess like they wanted him to.
Okay.
They didn't give him a jury of his peers, and they destroyed evidence in his case, too. You know, and it was faulty testimony of a medical examiner, two medical examiners during that time, fires his DNA samples, and they knew that they know exactly who did a couple of these murders.
Okay.
You know, and we do too, but you're not going to mention it on the air.
Right.
But the thing is, this is what goes on. I mean,
yeah.
It's a lot of corruption, it's a lot of racism, you know. And the police don't care. And then you have a prosecutor that doesn't care either. Just wants to get a piece of meat.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, my piece of meat, you know, you fit the crime. I mean, you did the crime even though the evidence doesn't support you doing the crime, the physical evidence.
Right, right.
You know, in several cases, like this one guy I know, he was convicted of murder, and he doesn't own the particular gun that was used to kill the deceased.
Okay.
And we have other cases the same way. You know, you probably read about the Gerard Williams case, too, you know, which was a big fiasco. This is one of our cases. I did the court watching for that case, along with Marilyn Jordan, and one of our ex-paralegals, and some other people for the task force.
Mm-hmm.
And it was too much evidence that was faulty evidence, you know. And even the eyewitness testimony was not that great. Okay.
Right.
To actually prove that he did this.
Okay.
You know. And there were exactly, and just make mention, there were two weapons used.
Okay.
In this murder, you know.
Okay.
And I can't see how he can use those two weapons at the same time, you know, to kill
like
two people.
Like the Wild West.
Yeah. Yeah. So, the thing, what we want to do, our goal is to remove Kim Worthy from investigating crime labs, period.
Okay.
And we want to get a federal investigation of crime lab.
Okay.
And we want accountability. All those police technicians that committed these errors should be prosecuted for what they did.
Mm-hmm. What is the status of the crime lab right now, and where is all the evidence that was there when it was closed down by Ella Bowley Cummings?
Essentially, it's been removed by the Michigan State Police,
okay.
Which it was supposed to be removed in 2009 when it shut down. Our current police chief, Ronald Galby, he was actually in charge of the crime lab at the time. For some reason, he didn't have the evidence removed there, or whoever else was in charge with him. So basically, in a nutshell, that evidence was just basically left to rot at that building for about another 2 years, until about November 2011, when Troy People's Task Force instigated an investigation into it.
Okay.
And it was, you probably saw it was on news in November 11, basically talking about how all that evidence was basically left to disintegrate in the lab, along with bullets and weapons and things. And the unfortunate part about that is if you were convicted under tainted evidence from the crime lab, if there was any evidence left in the lab to exonerate you, if it's disintegrated by now, then unfortunately, you don't have nothing left to prove your case.
Exactly.
You know, due to neglect.
Right,
so,
right.
As far as we know, the Michigan State Police has a hold of all that evidence. But the point is, it should never have been left to molder there in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and, you know, so that's really, it's just really pathetic on the city's part. But in a nutshell, what our group is trying to do is get try to get retrials for people that were convicted under this tainted evidence. And there has been a little, it has been difficult because basically in a nutshell, the Wayne County prosecutor has shown no interest in getting retrials. She's only gotten five of them. And I think in at least three or four cases, she tried those people on the same exact evidence they had been tried before, and they went right back to jail.
Right.
So it's not as if any justice was served, basically.
Okay. I am not an attorney, but isn't that double jeopardy at some point? Or don't you have to have new evidence to have a new trial?
Yes, you do.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
So, okay. And then the one case you mentioned goes back to 1983. That's almost 30 years.
Right.
So
it's a state case.
Okay, so we've had that problem going on that long. It goes back that far.
Yeah.
Okay.
This is like that particular case is faulty evidence, or should I say, somebody committed perjury. Two people on the stand.
Okay.
Said that the DNA evidence matched his DNA, and it really didn't.
Okay, got it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Dealing with because these women were raped and stabbed. Mm-hmm. Some of them were raped and strangled.
Okay.
Okay. And this is impossible for him to, Michael, to be in those places at this particular time.
Okay.
You know, you're dealing with more than multiple counties, you know. And then he had witnesses to prove that he was working at the time of these murders.
Right, right.
You know, and there were eyewitnesses that seen, this one guy actually lead the scene of the crime, two murders.
Right.
You know.
Okay.
And it was another witness in another county that seen another man leave, you know. And it's that case is full of corruption.
Wow.
I mean, it is, I knew you look at that case, it makes you angry.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah.
And regardless of your color, too, because you're looking at corruption right in your face.
Right. You know? Yeah. Okay, I will remind the listeners that you are listening to Impact, and Impact is heard on the fourth Tuesday of the month, bringing you individuals and groups making a positive difference in the community. We're going to take a little break right now, and we'll be right back after this music. PSAs.
Summer is here once again, and WHFR invites you to celebrate with us during our summer theme week, June 24th through the 30th. Each on-air show will deliver the music to get your summer rolling with special programming inspired by, well, summer. So join us June 24th through the 30th for summer theme week, here on the only station making waves, WHFR.FM.
Teach me another one.
Okay. A chick in a car and a car won't go. That's the way to spell Chicago.
C-H-I-C-A-G-O.
That's right.
Dad, how about Mississippi?
You ready for Mississippi? Okay, let's go.
The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 1-877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
HFCC's Associate Degree Program in Automotive Technology includes detailed instruction related to the various systems found on today's vehicles. This program is designed to provide students with a thorough knowledge of the technical aspects of the automobile and to develop a certain level of manual skill in servicing, testing, and diagnosing. Classroom and laboratory classes provide students with the experience and understanding they'll need to qualify in numerous fields of employment associated with the automobile industry. For more information on HFCC's Associate Degree Program in Automotive Technology, contact Instructor Gary Hines at 313-845-6350. That's Instructor Gary Hines at 313-845-6350.
Think you have what it takes? We do. Henry Ford Community College. Visit us online at hfcc.edu.
Cats and Kittens, dig the hottest and the coolest music around on Swing Time every Monday afternoon, 2 p.m. till 4. the big bands, the small groups, and new swing music. Hear it all on Swing Time, Monday 2 till 4, the only swing on this radio thing.
Jim Jab Jump is solid jive.
Makes you 9 foot tall when you're 4 foot five.
Deep blue sea, baby, deep blue sea. Deep blue sea, baby, deep blue sea. Deep blue sea, baby, deep blue sea. It was Willie what got drowned in the deep blue sea. Drowned in the deep blue sea. Dig his grave with a golden spade. Dig his grave with a golden spade. Dig his grave with a golden spade. It was Willie what got drowned in the deep blue sea. Deep blue sea, baby, deep blue sea. Deep blue sea, baby, deep blue sea. Deep blue sea, baby, deep blue sea. It was Willie what got drowned in the deep blue sea.
All righty, and we are back again a little bit from Pete Seeger, because if anybody knows how to write songs that get your attention and make you think about what's going on in our world, it's definitely Pete Seeger who's still doing that. Kevin, wanted to talk to you about some of the objectives of the Detroit People's Task Force, and this is all on your website. Do you want to tell the listeners how to take a look at the webpage?
Yeah, you can go on the www.detroitpeoplestaskforce.webstat.net.
Okay, terrific. And I'll put that out on the WHFR web, too. Okay, .com. Okay. And we'll do that again in a little bit. The objectives are listed there as free the wrongfully convicted. I think we talked about that a lot, and gosh, so many people have had their lives destroyed. 30 years is a huge chunk out of your life, no matter how long you live. Stop the destruction and mishandling of forensic evidence. Prosecute law enforcement personnel responsible for past and present abuses. Compel independent oversight of law enforcement and forensic laboratories. Separate forensic laboratories from law enforcement agencies. Great goals. How are you doing these things? How are you making these things happen?
Well, you know, as a federal investigation, we've been writing letters to the federal government in the last 3 years, even to the President Obama, you know, about launching a federal investigation of crime lab. Basically, what we will, yeah, we do want a separate crime lab from the state and the city, because we think that that's where the problem is. You know, what we need to do is advocate for that more, you know, try to get more grassroots support for it, you know, and that's to advertise it. You know, and that's something to, for the board, you know, to discuss how to do this, you know.
Right.
But that's important that we do that. We free the wrongfully convicted. We do legal research on particular cases, crime lab cases, the paralegals, lawyers, and people that can't pay for their attorneys, you know, refer them to innocent projects, U of M Innocent Project or Cooley Law School.
Right.
Or SATO.
SATO.
Okay.
Right.
Where does the jurisdiction fall right now for that Detroit Crime Lab? Is it part of the state? Is it the state police?
The state took it over.
Okay.
Matter of fact, right now, they received $55 million, and some of that chunk of that money is going to build a new police station, and the other chunk was to go to the new crime lab, which they're going to build around John R. Freeway.
Okay.
But the thing about it, though, they're not going to do anything but ballistics analysis. That's all they're going to do. They're not going to do chemical, physical.
Okay.
They're not going to do document forensic evidence. They're not going to do instrument, you know, dealing with knives, et cetera.
Okay.
And used in crimes. And, you know, the polygraph, all these things are going to be analyzed there.
Okay.
You know.
Who would do that then?
They'll be outsourced.
Okay.
Okay, and that's another problem.
Okay.
You know, there's going to be more problems, more lab mishaps, and evidence going to be tainted. And again, you know, I think even a more higher rate, you know, than before, which is bad enough, you know.
So do you feel that a third party, an outsourced party, would be more effective, more honest?
I think an independent crime lab.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know. I had an idea a few years ago about having an independent review board, you know, based upon the citizens of Detroit and also some lab technician specialist experts, you know, along with some lawyers, you know, to be serving this board to overview the crime lab, you know, and the crime lab evidence, you know, to look it over. You know, because a lot of times, you know, I think more community involvement is needed.
Right.
You know, we get some civilian technicians to actually, you know, to analyze this evidence.
Okay.
These cases.
Okay. The thing that is sort of hanging over my head is a very large dollar sign in all of this.
Mm-hmm.
And we have the state the state seems to be backing away from so many different things right now, and it's all in the name of money. And, you know, the state can save money if the state backs away from this project, that project. If the state is now in charge of the crime lab, is that something that it could potentially try to, for lack of a better term, unload and have that go to somebody else?
Snyder, anything's possible.
Unfortunately.
So, yeah, and then again, we have the evidence. There's still this bucket of evidence in this building.
Mm-hmm.
And we build a new building, we still have a bucket of evidence that's being transferred to the new building.
Right.
Somebody has to do something with it.
Right.
And where are the funds coming from to do that?
Well, you know, far as I know, like the money that I mentioned, was appropriated from the federal government to the state.
Right.
Okay, that's what we're dealing with.
Right.
You know, as far as any additional monies, I have to do some more research on that.
Okay.
You know, but, yeah.
Because you're talking about the money coming in from the federal level to construct new buildings.
Right.
Okay. Okay, once the building is there and it's operating, where's the money coming from to pay the personnel to maintain the buildings, you know, that sort of thing.
Okay.
Because you get that grant the first time, that gets you going, but there's something has to happen to have money to maintain these things, too.
Good question, because I don't know what was the time frame between the money that they got now, you know, to even put the crime lab together.
Right.
And what's going to happen at the end of the year, you know, and years to come.
Exactly,
you know,
yeah.
They probably have to be appropriated some more monies, you know. But the way it's set up now, it's not going to improve anything.
And in the interim, we have thousands of lives just dangling.
Right.
Because they're in a place they shouldn't be.
Right.
Right. Okay. Talking a little bit, too, about the group itself, the task force, I noticed that there are curriculums that you offer: crime reporting, crime prevention, conflict resolution, gun control, AIDS, HIV awareness, on and on and on. And you're looking for, you offered memberships to any individual who was interested in becoming a member of the Detroit task force, if I'm correct in reading that. Okay, and that's a Kim question. Okay.
Okay. Well, in a nutshell, those are goals we're actually working toward.
Okay.
We haven't actively implemented them yet.
Okay.
But that's definitely something we'd like to do in the future. We're a little more established. Like Kevin said, we've been around since 2009.
Right.
I myself was only asked to come in after they had been in. They had been in existence about, 6 or 8 months by the time you asked me to join.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so they already had a program director, but since she lived out in Ipsy and was going to school, she didn't have time to really handle the responsibility. So
right.
he asked me to come in, and
right.
I've been with them ever since.
Okay.
And like I said, those are goals we're working toward and pursuing at the moment. But anyway, about myself, basically I joined the Detroit People's Task Force in 2009. I've been an activist for 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
We're with the groups MCAWI, which is Michigan Emergency Committee Against War and Injustice,
mm-hmm.
and Moratorium Now. Basically, what MCAWI does is fight for rights people all around the globe and in the Detroit area. And Moratorium Now primarily focuses on saving people from foreclosures. Like, we're actually going to people's homes and stop the banks from foreclosing on their homes and everything, and
okay.
we give them information on how to stop that. When we first did it in 2008, 6 months before the economy crashed, we had people calling us up every day, asking us how do we keep from getting thrown out of our house, what do I have to do before a home goes on short sale, everything.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, since then, it kind of made a difference, because since then we have all this information out there about how to save people's home from foreclosures,
mm-hmm.
and people are a lot more knowledgeable about it now. But anyway, sorry, back to the task force.
Okay.
Sorry, I didn't get to go off on that. But anyway, back to the task force. My job as program director is to basically publicize any event we're having, ask the people in our committees ideas about how we can put the event together,
mm-hmm.
Where to have it, what to do there, what kind of information we should have there,
mm-hmm.
and implement to people. And we've had several events. We had our last event was at the Dexter Elmhurst Recreation Center,
okay.
where it was kind of like a, I guess you could say, sort of semi-legal clinic. We usually have our attorneys and paralegals at our events to give advice to anyone who needs help with a particular case,
okay.
and to let them know information about what the Wayne County Prosecutor's Office is doing with current
right,
cases
right.
and everything, and how they can find out information about the cases themselves that could help the person's case, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
I think the best event we put together was back in December 2001. We had a townhouse meeting. We have several attorneys, paralegals, a lawyer from CARE, and we implemented so much information there for people. And it was pretty much a packed house, and it was
mm-hmm.
great. It's one event that we put together that I'm proud of. But essentially what we try to do is let people know that, you know, they have an alternative. The problem with these cases is that basically in a nutshell, you're more likely to get convicted under tainted evidence or
oh,
lack
sure.
of evidence if you do not have access to good legal help.
Of
and that's
course.
Why a lot of these
right.
people, that's why a lot of people end up in prison, because
mm-hmm.
they couldn't get any decent legal help,
mm-hmm.
or they got slapped with a court provided attorney with little experience and who didn't know how to fight for them.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what we try to do, is provide a sort of low cost alternative to that. And like Kevin said, if they feel they need to move the cases to another level, refer them to SATO or the Innocence Project, you know, depending on the circumstances of the case
right.
and things like that. But yeah, in a nutshell, and we also try to encourage, like I said, we're primarily volunteers. We also try to encourage volunteers to get involved with our handling of the cases
okay.
so that they feel like they have an investment in not only what the group is doing, but also where they're relative's case is going, essentially. And so, you know, want to make sure they have full input in that. But in a nutshell, that's what we do. And also, if anyone's interested in joining us, they can call Kevin at 313-974-2581. They can also join our founder. They can also contact our founder and deputy director, Marilyn Jordan, at 313-784-4021. And our website is our website is www.DetroitPeoplesTaskForce.webstarts.com. You can also email us at DetroitPeoplesTaskForce@hotmail.com.
Okay. A couple questions came to mind while you were explaining some of your projects. Do you have a presence at some, like, large-type community events where sometimes you see vendors or, you know, causes or what have you, things like jazz festival downtown, that kind of thing? Do you have a presence there, or do you go out to community events like that?
Yeah. Yes, we do.
Okay. Yes, all the time. We've been to the festivals downtown. So,
okay.
Yeah, we're hoping to go to a there's a city county meeting tomorrow night at the city county building. One of us is going to be there. We also do court watching. We give some of our volunteers court watching forms, and we go and sit on actual cases at the federal building downtown.
Okay.
You know, just to make sure that the cases are being done properly and spot any irregularities in how it's being done, things like that.
Is there a training period or some sort of training to go in and watch these court proceedings?
Well, basically,
Michigan.
A lot of our officers, subcommittee members, you know, they express interest in doing that court watching. And there's no particular training. We do have forms that's available for people to fill out.
That tells you what you're looking for.
Right.
Okay.
You know, so we go by that format, and we have those individuals that do the court watching, you know, write up a report about what they've seen.
Okay.
You know, and we'll put it on file, you know, because we're looking for new crime lab cases. You know, we always advertise in our business. Yeah, basically, you know, that's a area that we're going to actually try to get more participation. I've been doing it since the organization exists.
Okay.
You know, court watching. And some other officers have been doing it, and members too, within the last 3 years.
Okay.
But we're going to do more of that. We have a political action outreach committee that we established, and we have some members on that. We want to add more members, you know, for people to do the outreach, like you were talking about, going to different events.
Right, right.
You know,
yeah.
And to advertise our organization and to find out what other organizations are doing.
Yeah, I guess that's probably my bottom line question, is how do you get out the word about the People's Task Force? You guys are doing great work, but, you know, how do people find out about you?
Yeah, we have brochures, too, that we like to distribute.
Okay.
And we have an updated version of the brochure that we distribute to people. We have a website, you know, with added information.
Right, right.
Updated information.
But people have to know to go to the web. You know, it's like I heard something about something, and then you can check more into the People's Task Force. But you have to know about it. You have to know that it's there.
Right.
Okay. You are listening to Impact right here on WHFR Dearborn, 89.3 FM, and every fourth Tuesday of the month from 1 till 2, Impact brings you individuals and groups making a positive difference in the community. We're going to take a little bit of a break. I picked this song just for you guys. This is Johnny Cash.
I hear the train a-coming, it's rolling around a bend. And I ain't seen the sunshine since I don't know when. I'm stuck in Folsom Prison, and time keeps dragging on. But that train keeps a-rolling on down to San Antone. When I was just a baby, my mama told me, son, always be a good boy, don't ever play with guns. But I shot a man in Reno just to watch him die. I hear that whistle blowing, I hang my head and cry. I bet there's rich folks eating from a fancy dining car. They're probably drinking coffee and smoking big cigars. Well, I know I had it coming. I know I can't be free. But those people keep a moving, and that's what tortures me. If they freed me from this prison, if that railroad train was mine, I bet I'd move it on a little farther down the line. Far from Folsom Prison, that's where I want to stay. And I'd let that lonesome whistle blow my blues away. Not in your town to stay, cried a lady old and gray to the warden of the penitentiary. I'm not in your town to stay, and I'll soon be on my way. I'm just here to get my baby out of jail. Yes, warden, I'm just here to get my baby out of jail. Tried to raise my baby right, and I prayed both day and night that he'd never follow the footsteps of his dad. I had searched both far and wide, and I feared that he had died, when at last I found my baby here in jail. Yes, warden, I'm just here to get my baby out of jail. I will pawn you my watch, I will pawn you my chain, I will pawn you my golden wedding ring. I will pawn you my cook, got the words to that verse, if that will get my baby out of jail. Yes, warden, I'm just here to get my baby out of jail. Much. I want to do another song here featuring the harmonica, and then I want to get the stool there and sit down and do some slow.
All righty, and we are back after a couple of Johnny Cash songs. So what do you think of my picks for you?
Great picks.
Great picks.
I liked it too.
Wanted to talk a little bit about the organization itself, and we talked a little bit about recruiting and looking for volunteers and that sort of thing. Where does your money come from to keep this organization afloat?
None. Well, like I said, we're primarily a nonprofit organization, so we're basically doing everything ourselves.
Sure.
We get no funding from anybody anywhere.
Okay.
You know, we do take on occasional donations at our events, and that basically goes into printing work printing papers and things mm-hmm. that help our clients' cases, essentially.
Right.
So, yeah, we pretty much run it on our own time. Also, what we are looking for Most of our paralegals tend to be students. Mm-hmm. We do accept students for internships, so anyone's a law student or looking to go into law, they can definitely join us. They'll get some experience. We're also looking for lawyers that specialize in criminal and civil laws, primarily criminal appeals, mm-hmm. actually. We're looking for both.
Okay.
So if anyone's out there is interested, call us up or go on our website. And we also have a program committee, which helps to some extent determine the kind of programs that we'll be dealing with, that we usually deal with at our events. Like I'll ask them, well, how should we put the program together? What we need to prioritize in speaking about subjects at our events, things like that. But we definitely use some help in the PR area for our public relations committee. Okay. So if there's anybody out there that has experience with that, please call Kevin at 313-974-2581. And or, like I said, our founder, Marilyn Jordan, at 313-784-4021.
Okay.
Yeah.
One of the things I noticed, too, with regards to the memberships is you're encouraging businesses to join you, too, businesses to be part of your organization. What would a business get from being part of sponsoring your organization?
Well, being cooperative, with us, we can kind of, help each other out,
mm-hmm.
via exposure.
Okay, so a little underwriting, advertising, and that sort of thing.
Right.
Okay, all right.
There's some people that are interested in our goal.
Mm-hmm.
That might be they may be consumerate with what we're doing, but doing something else. It's like an organization that deals with police brutality.
Okay.
Like the Coalition Against Police Brutality. We work with them time to time.
Okay.
Anything that correlates with prisoners' rights groups,
mm-hmm.
To ally themselves with us as far as cooperating with us, planning events,
mm-hmm.
et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're looking for. If any people, any members of those organizations want to join us, join our subcommittee, that's fine, too.
Okay, terrific. Okay. And one thing you mentioned a little bit ago was when you find a situation or a case where you see a problem, and Kim, you mentioned this, that when we can't handle it, we turn it over to another organization or whatever. Tell me about some of the other organizations that you're working with as the People's Task Force.
Well, mostly we turn over to SATO and the Innocence Project, but Kevin could actually go into more detail about that.
Cooley Law School does the DNA cases.
Okay.
So we refer DNA cases to them.
Okay.
It's people that can't pay.
Exactly.
And then the U of M Innocent Project does ballistic cases, and SATO does ballistic cases, too.
And SATO is what again?
A State Appellate Defender's Office, which use Wayne State students, students.
All right.
That do the internship with them. They're involved in that heavily. We've had some cases that SATO have dealt with.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So you're involved with a lot of colleges in the area, too, then. You mentioned Wayne. You mentioned U of M.
Right.
Okay.
Cooley.
Okay. And now, you any combination or association with U of D? Because I know there's a law school there, too.
Well, we haven't had that much contact with U of D.
Okay.
But, that's something to look into.
Okay.
I have to find out more about the internship program.
Okay, all right. And you mentioned when we were on break that you're working with some students from here, from Henry Ford College.
Oh, yeah, there's some students that were referred to us by the director.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard she's retired now. And sent some students our way, and they were very good academically.
Right.
And all of them, aced the classes, and they had excellent legal writing skills, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, one of them we retained with us.
Terrific.
And some of the others went to law firms, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
That's great. We're still looking for other paralegals to join us. We have some already.
Right. Okay.
And if the people want to join us, if you're a paralegal, even if you have your certificate already,
mm-hmm.
You can volunteer your time.
Okay, fantastic. Yeah.
Internships, we do offer that, but and those that already have their certifications can join us.
Okay. One more time, get the website out there and the phone numbers.
Our website is www.DetroitPeoplesTaskForce, that's all one word, .webstarts.com. Once again, that's www.DetroitPeoplesTaskForce.webstarts.com. You can also call Kevin for information at 313-974-2581, or our founder, Marilyn Jordan, 313-784-4021. You can also email us at DetroitPeoplesTaskForce@hotmail.com.
Okay. And in a nutshell, tell me the next project, the next place where, if I'm someplace, I would be able to find you. What's your next outing, as it were?
Well, right now we're kind of working on putting together a prisoners rally.
Okay.
Right now that's sort of that's on the table, and we're okay. trying to organize the plan around that. Okay. That's going to be a big undertaking for us because we
sure.
want to go to the Capitol.
Okay.
And mount a protest. Okay. But so, like I say, anyone that would like to help us with that, they're free to call us.
Okay.
And offer their yeah. time and expertise.
And you can have a dance too. And dance before that.
Oh yeah. We're trying to have a fundraiser before that. That's still in the planning stages.
Oh, okay. So. Approximate dates or times?
We can't say that now. Like we said, it was in the planning okay. stages. So you know,
the early planning stages.
Yes.
Okay.
So.
Well, thank you so much for coming in and visiting Impact today, Kevin. Thank you so much, Kim. Thank you so much.
Thank
this
you.
Has been a real eye opener. In
it's been a pleasure.
Kind of not a great way.
Yes.
I appreciate the information, but it's a little bit disturbing.
Yeah. All
right. All right.
Again, it's important we get that out there, though.
Exactly. So. Yeah. Again, thank you so much for coming in. You've been listening to Impact right here on WHFR Dearborn. We are here on the fourth Tuesday of the month from 1 p.m. until 2 p.m., bringing you individuals and groups making a positive difference in the community. And until next time, I bid you peace.
Johnny. WHFR, Dearborn.
Summer registration for Henry Ford Community College is underway. With a wide variety of courses to choose from, let HFCC guide you on your path through education. Classes begin June 26th and continue through August. For more information, contact the Office of Registration and Records by calling 313-845-6403 or online at hfcc.edu.
Are you facing foreclosure? Then come down to Megalow and Partners. We're a mortgage rescue company, and we can help you keep your house. The process is simple. The results are guaranteed 100%. That's the Megalow and Partners promise. Provided you submit to our plans for galactic domination. No, no, I'm kidding. Megalow and Partners, your partner in foreclosure prevention. Stop in anytime.
If you're facing foreclosure, make sure you're talking to the right people. Speak with HUD-approved housing counselors free of charge at 888-995-HOPE.